Welcome back, listeners, to the Astrologers Podcast. My name is Andrew Watt, and I'll be your host. In this episode, we will be walking through the Hall of Virgo. As we've done in previous episodes, let's take a moment to review the basics of the method of Palace of Memory. The method consists of two basic parts, memory of image and memory of place. So as you listen to this recording and other recordings in this series, remember to try to imagine the places that you are visiting and try walking through them. Try moving around the space in such a way that you feel like you are visibly there, and try to imagine the things that are described. Call them up in your mind. Imagine what they look like. Imagine how long the space is, how wide, and imagine yourself moving through these spaces. Imagine the colors on the walls. Imagine the paintings where they're described. And you'll find that with some practice, you will be able to visit these places in your mind and have this information. So that's the memory of place side. The memory of image side is a little bit more complicated, but where we describe paintings, try to imagine that you see those paintings actually hanging on the walls. Try to call up in your mind what a map of Europe and the Middle East might look like. Try to call up in your mind what a man with a certain kind of hat on his head is wearing, that sort of thing. And try to picture as best you can what these things look like. And that's the memory of image part of the component here. We begin, as we always do, by taking a walk through an unfamiliar part of our town in a neighborhood that we don't know very well until we come upon Zodiac Street. And turning onto Zodiac Street, we find ourselves walking through an unfamiliar but densely packed neighborhood until it opens out into a plaza around a large circular building, perhaps the size of a modern football stadium. And here, around this football stadium, is a fancy iron fence with a garden between the building and ourselves. And we can see that the building is roughly 4 to 5 stories tall. The base level that is visible at ground level is stone with Egyptian and Babylonian motifs and perhaps some Indian or Polynesian elements. And the second floor above that, sort of the main floor of the building, has Roman and Greek and Indian and Persian elements, Arabic elements, tile work, and so on. The third floor is mostly Gothic and consists mostly of windows, wide windows with lots of light being allowed into the building. There are parts of this part of the structure on the third floor that are composed of half timber construction, which is to say large black wooden timbers with white plaster in between them. And the uppermost floor is the roof itself, sort of modern metal roofs with elements of glass and painted or colored in various ways so that sections are green, blue, yellow, and red. Walking around the building, following the curve of the building, we come to the first gate, which has the emblem of Aries above the door, and we know that if we open this path and take this route into the palace, that we will find ourselves in the vestibule of the spring equinox, and that if we went up the stairs, we would find ourselves in the Hall of Aries. We've been that way before, and we can come back that way again and review all of the signs of the zodiac. But for now, we keep walking around the building until we come to the second gate, the gate with the emblem of Cancer above it. And we walk through that gate and through the garden to the open door and into the vestibule of the summer solstice, where a broad and fancy staircase leads up to the second floor. And we go up the first flight of steps and turn and go up the second flight of steps till we're on the second floor. And we know that if we turn left, we will go into the Hall of Gemini. But but if we turn right, we will enter the hall of cancer. And we do that, and we find ourselves in the room with pale blue walls and the ceiling adorned in purple and silver in honor of the moon, and pillars that are blue in honor of Jupiter, and walls that are painted sort of a pale baby blue because this is cardinal water. And on the floor, the tiles are black so that Saturn is trod underfoot, and we can see that every other tile is sort of engraved with the emblem of Saturn. And we walk quickly through that hall, which is moonlit, and everything is on casters so that it can be moved around. And we pass through the doors at the far end of this 30-yard long hall, and we enter into the Hall of Leo, which is brightly lit and warm and sunny and has daylight coming through the windows. And here, the ceiling is entirely gold, and the walls are gold, and it is dedicated to the sun. And again, underfoot, the tiles are black in honor of the fact that Saturn is in his detriment here. And we come to the doors at the far end of the hall that lead into the Hall of Virgo. Passing through the bronze doors that seem to shimmer like mercury, we enter a room bathed in moonlight, for it is nighttime outside the tall windows on the third floor above us, and the whole room appears to be illuminated by torchlight. It is difficult to see color high above, but it is possible to see that the ribs that support the roof high above are orange, and the ceiling between them appears to be liquid mercury, gleaming and shimmering and changing shape even as you watch it. This is the Hall of Mercury by night, and as a result, it is possible to see upon the central plinth the shape of a woman bearing a sheaf of corn, which gleams and shines as though there were a star shining out from the sheafs of grain. The pillars that support the roof are bronze and orange, with flutes filled with liquid mercury cascading down in slender tubes, visible through the glass as mercury falling. We draw our attention to the rooms that line the right-hand side of the hall, the ones that demarcate out the terms, and we see that the first door is green, like the verdigris of copper, and engraved upon the door, which is copper, is the seal and emblem of Venus. Going into the room, or at least opening the door, we see the same green on the walls. And above the door of this first room is carved the number 8, and there are 8 chairs within the room. We close the door and go on to the second door, which is the double Dutch door we're so familiar with, black above and orange below in honor of Saturn by day and Mercury by night, with the number 15 above it. And opening the door, we find 7 chairs in honor of the 7 degrees that we find in this term. And closing the door, we go on to the third door, again double Dutch, Mercury by day marked by the orange door above and black below and the number 21 above it. And in this room, 6 chairs for the 6 degrees of the middle term. And going on to the fourth door, which is blood red in recognition of Mars's rulership here, with the number 26 above the door and 5 chairs within, we come finally to the last door, blue in honor of Jupiter, with the number 30 above the door and 4 chairs within the tiny chamber beyond the door. And here behind the statue of the woman who is Virgo, we find the 3 statues, much smaller, of the Triplicity Lords. By day, on the plinth marked with emblems of the sun, we find the figure of Venus dressed in her gauzy green dress and with a veil partially taken off of her face. And on the plinth marked with the symbols of the moon for the power of night, we find the moon. And on the plinth between them, we find the red warrior, Mars, in his red, rusty armor, standing fiercely on guard between the two women. Looking down at our feet, we see that the tiles beneath our feet are marked with the emblem of Jupiter, and the tiles are blue, for this is the place where Jupiter has his detriment. And walking back to the front of the room by the front doors that we came in, we discover there a cage, and here, languishing in imprisonment, is Venus, whose creative powers are limited in the highly analytical and deliberate and careful environment of Virgo, who pieces out each individual element of all things. Coming to the chambers on the left, the emblems of the decans, we find that the first chamber, the one closest to the door, is marked with the emblem of the sun and painted gold, and within there is a chamber dedicated to the sun, and upon the altar we find the five of coins as the altarpiece, with two people out in the snow, just below a grand stained glass window showing the five coins. And going on to the second room, which is dedicated to Venus and so painted green, with the number 20 above its door, we find the six of coins representing the powers of generosity. And going on to the third room, we find a room dedicated to Mercury, and here the seven of coins is on display as the altarpiece on the altar. And these are the faces of the planets. And so we find ourselves standing by the statues of the triplicities again, near the back door, the one that goes on to the next hall. And we come back along the wall with the five doors leading into the five terms, and here on the wall are a number of paintings. The first one shows a woman, because the sign of Virgo is feminine, and her arms have worms coming out of them, for she is infected with parasites, and she has colic and white and red stripes on her throat, and she appears to be suffering from difficulties breathing, and she also seems to be holding her belly as though she is having constipation, and there is creaking in her guts, and her belly is distended not with pregnancy but with illness, and she is holding her gallbladder, and her guts are clearly in some distress. And going on to the second painting, you see a landscape painting of the outdoors. And in the front is a dairy house where a number of cows are being milked. And off to the right of the dairy house in this painting, you can see cornfields and grain in various stages of growth, some of it still green and some of it fully grown and ready to be harvested. And there are hay ricks or piles of hay that have been very carefully assembled. And there is also a granary, a building sort of diamond-shaped with a steep roof and slotted sides at a slight diagonal, with only narrow openings to allow the grain to dry but to protect it from mice and from other predators. And there is a malt house with its tall smokestack ready to dry and roast the grain in order to turn it into beer. And there are piles of hay and of barley and of wheat. And to the left of the dairy house is a dairying building, and the cheat and the milk is being carried from the cows into the building, and there are a number of women there working to churn it into cheese and to prepare it to become butter. The next painting shows an interior place, a library with many books and with a number of tools of the scientist on display, musical instruments, and also astrolabes and a globe, and all of the tools necessary for training and teaching and learning. An abacus also. And here in amongst the people in the study, there is one person clearly in command of the situation, a medium height person with a narrow body, well dressed, a ruddy dark complexion, dark hair, well favored and kind, but not beautiful. A small voice and short arms and short legs, but clearly clever, and everyone else in the room is laughing at their jokes and gesturing in a way that suggests that they are weighing out different possibilities and that everyone in the room is attentive to them. From the books that are close at hand, it appears that he has been given himself to storytelling, and other people in the room are deeply interested, and he is balanced somewhat oddly between one foot and the other, as though about to move about the chamber quite suddenly. And so we leave this painting behind, and we come to the last painting, showing a map of the Middle East and also Europe. And we see that Greece is colored orange, for this is ruled by the sign of Virgo. And particularly, the orange color becomes more intense the further south in the country one goes. Croatia and Athens is also marked. But in the Middle East, the land between the rivers is also given over to Mercury. And much of the north coast of Africa is also given over to Mercury and to Virgo. Some portions of southwest France, along the Pyrenees and along the coast, are given over to Mercury. And there is a little flag in the city of Paris, but also in the city of Jerusalem, and on the island of Rhodes in the islands of Greece, and in the south of France, the city of Lyon, and also the city of Toulouse, and in Germany, Heidelberg, and in the south of Italy, Brundisium or Brindisi. And these are the places that are associated with Virgo. And we find ourselves by the doors. So we take one more walk around the room, past the chambers dedicated to the faces, past the statues of the triplicity and the doors that go into the next hall, and past the terms backwards along the edges of the hall, so that we see in reverse order the doors for Jupiter, Mars, Saturn by night and Mercury by day, and then Mercury by night and Saturn by day, and then finally, closest to the doors that we came in, the emblem of Venus on a green door. And we go out through the door that we came in, back through the hall of Leo, alongside the wall, past the three doors of the faces. The one closest to us, the first one on our right as we walk down the hall, the door of Mars into the chapel of Mars, and then the door of Jupiter, and then the door of Saturn. And we pass through the doors into the hall of Cancer, and we walk past the three chapels of the faces or decans, and here is the chapel of the moon, and then Mercury, and then Venus. And out through the doors into the vestibule of the solstice, and down the stairs, and out into the garden, and out through the gate, and back along Zodiac Street to our more familiar neighborhoods. Thank you for listening to The Astrologer's Palace. I hope that this has been a helpful walk through the Hall of Virgo, and we'll see you next week for an encounter with the translator of the great work on memory or a number of great works on memory, Scott Gosnell. I hope you'll join us next time for that interview. It should be quite fascinating and illuminating.